Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants. One they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper time." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people that will produce its fruit." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew he was speaking about them. And although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for the crowds regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today's readings, we come face to face with the destruction caused by envy, and at the same time, how God always seeks to bring good out of evil. And today we remember, as we said in the responsorial psalm, the marvels the Lord has done. In the first reading from the book of Genesis, we see how Joseph, the future patriarch's brothers, were envious of him because he was their father Jacob's favorite. Their envy led them first to hate Joseph so much that they would not even greet him. But then that interior poison led them much further. When he went out to help his brothers tend the flocks in Dothan, the brothers conspired to plan to murder him and toss his dead body into a cistern and then lie about it to their father, saying a wild beast had devoured him. They wanted to replicate Cain's murder of his brother Abel. Cain, who was upset because Abel's sacrifice was more pleasing to the father. To save Joseph's life, one of the brothers, Reuben, persuaded the others just to abandon him into an empty cistern so that he might be able to rescue him later. So they agreed and threw him down into an inescapable situation, thinking, with most of the brothers likely deeming, that while they themselves didn't shed his blood, it would just be a longer process of dying. But then they saw a group of Ishmaelites, basically their second cousin through their grandfather Isaac's half-brother Ishmael, and sold him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, not as an act of mercy, but of simple profiteering from what they had anticipated would be a situation tantamount to his death in Egypt. At every stage, their envy at his good fortune led to evil. That brotherly betrayal was a prophetic type, a prophetic oath is the biblical term, an action that would eventually happen to Jesus when he would be sold by one of his spiritual brothers, one of his closest friends, for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus describes that betrayal and the envy that led to it in today's gospel. Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the scribes in a parable about the way they had treated all the messengers God had sent them and how they were going to treat him. In the prophets, Israel had often been referred to as a vineyard planted by God. God had made the Israelites stewards of that vineyard, but expected a harvest when vintage time grew near. The prophets were the ones sent to remind them of that harvest, that yield of good and charitable deeds, of love for God and love for others. But, Jesus tells us, one of the prophets they beat, another they killed, a third they stoned. Others were sent and maltreated the same way. Finally, God sent his son, but in prophetic tones that would be fulfilled in the cry of "Crucify him" in Pontius Pilate's praetorium. They shouted out, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance." They wanted to be the owners, not the stewards, and they were prepared to kill in order to maintain those privileges. They wanted to be the ones in charge of the inheritance of faith, not God himself. Their chief motivation behind the persecution of the prophets and the crucifixion of Jesus, we can see easily portrayed here in this gospel, was envy. Envy that led to a hatred so deep that it resulted in homicide. But that's not the end of the story, thanks be to God. God always seeks to bring good out of evil. And in both cases, God's goodness triumphed over the worst of human wickedness. Joseph's being sold for 20 pieces of silver, becoming a slave in Egypt, and his ability to interpret dreams eventually brought him to the attention of Pharaoh, the second position of the kingdom. In office, he was able to use not only to save millions of Egyptians during a time of famine, but also his own family. Likewise, Jesus being sold for 30 pieces of silver, taking on the appearance of a slave in order to serve us all, and enduring the worst of nightmares, led him to save not only millions of Egyptian lives and so many fellow Israelites, but the entire human race. To use his own words, quoting the Psalms, "The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone." And that is indeed, as we said in the response to Osama, marvel in our eyes. These two points should lead us to two sets of resolution. The first is about the terrible evil of envy and the destruction to which it leads. Envy is sadness and anger about someone else's being blessed. It's a coveting of what others have that knows no end. We need to see it for the capital sin that it is, the sin that leads to so many other sins. And the greatest way to oppose envy is to be grateful for all we have rather than upset at what we don't have, and to thank God not only for the way he's blessed us, but blessed others, especially our family members and friends, our own blood. Should never be envious of them when they're blessed. The second resolution is about how to endure difficulty, how to endure hardship, how even to suffer betrayal because of the evil and envy of others. God always seeks to bring good out of evil, and we need to have confidence that our hardships endured can lead to our salvation and the salvation of others. St. Paul told the Romans, and he reiterates to us, all things work out for the good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his plans. Worked out for the good for Joseph, worked out for the good for Jesus, risen from the dead on the third day. It will likewise work out for us when we unite whatever we need to go through to Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. Especially when we're in a situation like Joseph or like Jesus, we need to remember that the suffering we're enduring is not the whole story, but that God can always use that evil for even greater good. Today, as we prepare to receive the stone rejected by the builders in Holy Communion, we ask him for the grace to build our entire life on him, to build our most secure foundation on him, to draw good out of all the evil we've suffered on account of the envy of others, and to help us never, ever to succumb to that capital sin, but rather always to rejoice in what he's given us and given others out of love. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. It's a marvel in our eyes. Now we consume that stone. Build our life on him. What an ever greater marvel. Praise be Jesus Christ.